This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this May 30th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. I'm here to promote investing knowledge. Justin and I, that's our main focus, is to promote investing knowledge. Okay, it can yield the highest return of all investments. Of course, it's the foundation of your decision-making process. Knowledge. You gotta have some knowledge. Okay? Today we're gonna talk about a particular bad choice. The penalties you incur will hurt, but the growth you'll miss is far worse. What you need to know. I'm talking about cashing out a 401k early. And that's going to be one of our talking points today. And speaking of 401ks, there are wonderful opportunities for employees, but at the same time, they are challenging to manage. As Justin has pointed out, the current structure of the 401k industry puts the investor at a disadvantage to the benefit of the institutions and he's talking about the mutual funds. It's their advantage. They've structured it to be not necessarily at your disadvantage, but to advantage them more. Now, here's one issue pointed out by Investopedia.com. You have also probably been told that your employer established a 401k plan on your behalf in order to provide you with a long-term savings plan for retirement. Given this premise, you were most likely led to believe that you should develop a long-term strategic asset allocation based on a time horizon that's likely to exceed 10 years, a decade. Unfortunately, what you may not have been told is that it's highly unlikely that the portfolio managers that are in those mutual funds are going to be there in a decade. Therefore, if you are going to develop a strategic allocation with a long-term focus in mind, you probably need to be using index funds. That will help mitigate the likely mismatch between shorter-term tenure of your fund managers and your long-term outlook, yours. So it's the industry is not necessarily all for the benefit of you, even though it sounds like it. Anyways, if you don't get a bunch of index funds that are to choose from in your 401k, you'll have to make some challenging decisions. It's going to be more difficult. And many 401ks don't have a number of index funds. They may have one, maybe two. So what are your options? You can develop a tactical asset allocation contingency plan, which will allow you to be prepared. But see, this is way beyond most people's knowledge. It's difficult. Anyways, so just as a real plug, there is something you can do about it. We have something called the Active 401k Program, and I wouldn't even mention it if I didn't think it'd help you. That is if you're frustrated with the limitations of your own 401k plans and how to and what to buy and how to allocate. Now, the Active 401k Program, 401k program we have, analyzes your current employer's plan, considers your goals and risk tolerance, and designs the best possible 401k portfolio. Okay, well, enough said. If you'd like to know more about it, it's there for you at investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab. Now, do you have questions about managing your 401k today? Let's talk about it. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime line. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. So let's take a question that came in before today's program.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Scott from Bay Area, California. I'm just calling with a comment. I just wanted to thank Justin for the May 22nd program, just getting financial house in order as the primary starting point for any investor. I really found that podcast informative. And just wanted to shed some light on previous poor, bad experience I've had investing in commodities. Pretty much ended up wiping myself out in the late 90s with some money I had set aside, and just was hoping that you give maybe some budding investors some insight on something called scale trading of commodities. It was a trading strategy that family member share with me that seemed to be working for a little while, but ended up very quickly wiping myself and other family member out with price declines and continuing to purchase contracts in commodities. So if you could shed some light on scaling commodities and the level of risk that is entailed with that, and what you have to look forward to as a commodities trader, if that's what you pursue, I would appreciate you just putting that out there as a proceed with caution type of info. Thanks again, guys. Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Now, commodities can be very risky, and then there can be much less risk. It depends on how you do it. Commodities is not for the beginner. It's not for the intermediate person. It's for the advanced person. Okay, you don't mess with commodities unless you have gotten years and years of experience in managing money and know commodities inside and out thoroughly. And that would apply to nearly 1% of the people out there. One, maybe 2%. Very few people can succeed in commodities. Now, that is not to say you can't use them as insurance. Many people do that. There is a method to use commodities as insurance. But again, you have to have experience to know, understand how that is. Trading in commodities, there's so many risks that you can take on. It's like day trading in many ways, in that most people lose all their money. Most people lose all their money. Don't do it. My simple advice is why even thinking about it? You first have to master buying and selling stocks, and that takes years to master. And even then, you're not always going to be right. So don't even think about commodities until you have a number of years of experience in just managing a portfolio of stocks. What you should know about hybrid mutual funds. That's one of our talking points today. Going to talk about that. Also, good times for the market for a long, long time. That's what some experts are saying. But then I got the opposite. One hedge fund bigwig expert, Paul Singer, says, quote, all hell is going to break loose, end quote. And finally, how to spend retirement without dying broke. How do you spend in retirement without dying broke? I got some interesting stats. And how to make that money last. I'm going to talk about those things. That's what we're going to discuss. The market was down today. The Dow's down 51. The Nasdaq down 7. And the S&P down 3. I'd say that's pretty flat for the day. Not much action going on there. A little to the negative side. Nothing driving it down, nothing driving it up. Actually, we had decent economic news came in today. Everything was as expected. But, I'm looking for the next big driver, up or down. And it's hard to see them. It's hard to see what that driver is going to be. What you should know about hybrid mutual funds, everybody. That was one of our talking points the other day. Do you remember that? Just remember, hybrid is the same as balanced. Just a new term that people are using. Anyway, I'm financial advisor Steve Pisa. Let's bring you up to date on my scheduled retirement check updates. I'll be in San Jose June 14th. Our home office at Dana Point on June 15th, and then back to San Jose on July 18th. I can only meet with a few of our listeners each month. To set aside your time on June 14th in San Jose, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. 888-99-CHARTERS is our live listener line number every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time. Love to hear from you.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. It's Henning from Ukraine. I hope you're well, listening to you on the podcast. My stock today is Palo Alto Networks, ticker symbol PANW, and I was wondering what you thought of its growth potential, what your valuation is, and what your outlook for the internet security sector in general is. Thanks again, listening to your answer, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Well, the growth potential is very large. PANW, Palo Alto Networks, headquartered in Santa Clara, and that's, of course, in Silicon Valley, provides network security infrastructure products for enterprise services providers and government entities. And I think security is going to be a big growth area for many, many years. And this company is growing about 25% per quarter. That's down 50% a year ago, but still pretty hefty. They've made money for years now, and they're going to make $3.19 next year. The problem with that is that the stock is $117. So that's like, what, 35, 40 PE? That's pretty high. But the company is growing very fast and has great return on equity, 27%. And, you know, it probably deserves a high PE. What's interesting is I'm not sure why mutual funds have been kind of net sellers of this in the last year. There are almost 1,000 mutual fund holders last year of this company. Now there's 900. So 10% of the mutual funds that own this company have left. And I'm not sure why. Also, before you buy, you want to find out what made that big downturn in March. It looks like it probably was an earnings disappointment. They probably expected them to grow faster than 26%. And that's what happens when you have these high growth companies and they start to slow down. Even though they're still growing pretty fast, they're not growing as fast as they were. Therefore, they don't, you know, investors don't want to give them that, you know, huge PE that they had. You know, now they're reevaluating those earnings. And remember, the long-term average of PEs is around 15. So in that case, this stock would be, what, $45, $50, and it's $117. But the growth rate is still pretty high. I think that since that collapse, which was probably earned, I think everybody's gotten used to maybe that the growth rate is not going to be as high. So this might be a good place to buy it, $117, even though it's still overpriced. Interesting. Let's go to Alan in New York. How you doing, Alan?
Hi, Steve. It's Aaron from New York.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
With a question. No problem. I'm calling with a question about Hormel, ticker symbol HRL. And my thought is that this is a dividend king, which has raised its dividend for over 50 years. And its recent earnings disappointment
is
connected to turkey, which is a commodity. And so I was wondering what your thoughts are on purchasing more at these prices.
Hormel Foods, everybody, out of Austin, Minnesota. Processes meat, food products such as pork, turkey, and shelf-stable foods for the retail and food service markets. Everybody's heard of Hormel, most likely. And this looks like a triple bottom to me, Alan, and that's a good sign. I just want you to know it's weak, but it's a triple bottom, meaning if it holds this bottom, which is right a little less than $33 a share, like $32.50, if it holds that bottom, this is a great buying opportunity, but I think I might wait a few days, maybe a week or two, to make sure it holds that bottom. Okay? That will give you a good buying opportunity if it starts to move up from this bottom as a third bottom it's put in the last year. And it does pay 2% dividend. It's going to make $1.70 next year, so that gives you about a 20 PE, a little less than 20. And their average is 15 to 32, so it's right in there. It's not a bargain, Alan. It's not a bargain, but on a technical basis, charting, this is where it should find support and where you would be a buyer. Okay? Appreciate the call. Thank you, Alan. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHARTER is how to reach me right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. I'm open to any money questions right now. Charter is our number, everybody. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Emily in Dallas. How you doing, Emily?
Great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the show.
Thank you. What can I do for you?
Wanted to ask get your opinion about stock symbol CETX. Centrix, it's a microcap or small cap company that looking at the fundamentals, it appears to be undervalued, but wanted to get your opinion.
Okay, it's a very, very small company, $36 million. That's a micro cap. It's out of Farmington, New York. It provides electronic manufacturing services for advanced electronic systems assemblies, monitoring instruments, and it sales last quarter sales were $30 million. Quarter before that was 29. Quarter before that was 36. Quarter before that was 24. So it's been a little bit erratic, but the growth has been pretty high. And you can tell if the whole company's worth $36 million and did $30 million in one quarter, that means it's a very low price-to-sales ratio, which is very good. And then you add on top of that, remember, this is a real small company, so it's going to be volatile. But you add on top of the very low price-to-sales ratio, PS, price-to-sales. We don't talk about that a lot here, but when something is this low, I like to mention it. You add on the fact that it's made money every year since 2011, and it's going to make money 37 cents next year, and then 89 cents the year after that, in 2018, and it's only a $3.70 stock. It's pretty cheap, Emily. Pretty cheap with pretty high growth. So return on equity is really high at 44%. Ownership is 60%. Management owns 60% of the company. So if you wanted to take a risk on a micro cap, this is the kind of macro cap you want to take a risk on. Because they make money, they're growing their sales, the price of sales ratio is low, very high return on equity. Fundamentally, without looking any further than that, it's a very strong company, even though it's really tiny. Now, if they keep it up, someday someone's going to recognize it and the price is going to shoot up. And it was $8 last year. If it goes from $3.70 back to $8, that's a huge return. So Emily, I'll give you a thumbs up with some of your money on this, okay?
Okay, terrific.
Give it
Thank
a shot.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you.
CETX. CETX is the symbol. There's not a lot of volume, 371,000, enough for individuals to buy it, almost impossible for any kind of institutions to buy it. And really, that's probably what you need. You gotta get the institutions involved, and they can't get involved too easily with this small of a company. They just can't. So that's probably be the only thing that hold the price back. Okay. Cashing out your 401k. Cashing out your 401k, which seems to be very popular with young people these days when they change jobs, is really stupid. It's just a stupid thing to do to cash out your 401k. The only reason you should ever cash it out is because you have to. You need the money. You have to have the money. And that doesn't mean you need to buy a brand new car. You need to buy new clothes. No, that's not a need. That's not a need. Helping, maybe you have a health issue. There's a need that you have to take care of. But when you cash out a 401k before your retirement age, there's several things that happen. First, all that money is now going to be added to your adjusted gross income, and you're going to have to pay income tax. But only after you pay a 10% penalty on top of that. And once you cash it out, the worst thing is that the money that you could have grown won't be grown anymore. And I don't care how small it is. It doesn't matter. You have to start saving money. The sooner the better. And I don't care if it's small. You should still never cash it out. Ever. You can roll it into an IRA. You can roll it into your new 401k if you have a new one at your new job. But it's smarter to roll it into an IRA. And then if you don't have a 401k at your job, fund the IRA. Do not cash it out. That's the worst thing to do. And many people do this. Many young people do this without thinking. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure. You have a 401k for a purpose, and that is to save money for retirement. Not save money to buy a new car. That's not what it's supposed to be for. 888-992-4278 is our number. I'd love to talk to you. The market didn't do much today. Had some decent economic numbers. We're going to have just a spattering of good numbers out there this week. But it's going to be an interesting next month or two because May is ending tomorrow. And then we're going to go into June. June, historically, remember that old saying, go away in May? That's, you're supposed to, the theory is you leave the market in May, because June, July, August, into the summer months, the market gets very volatile and they're not very good returns in those months. Traditionally, doesn't always happen and doesn't have to be that way. And, you know, when I say worse returns, that means you just go up slower in those months than in the winter months where it goes up faster. Doesn't necessarily mean it had to be down. We are overdue for some volatility and some down volatility. We have one day, what, 2.5 weeks ago or so? Not enough. Be sure to sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program. It's a source of good information, up-to-date financial news, and insight in a whole library of timely info sheets and recorded webinars. It's free. Just click on Invest Talk tab on Invest Talk.
Our Invest Talk podcast continues next. But first, a reminder about our wealth webinar. It's scheduled for May 31st. That would be tomorrow evening, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. So join financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein, along with Chevy Akison, a real estate investor, and they'll discuss the basics of residential real estate investing. So if you're an individual who is thinking about investing in real estate for profit, this could be a very profitable way to invest an hour. You'll learn about the tools and strategies the professionals use. You'll gain insights to help you reduce risk and maximize your invested dollar. Whether you're just getting started or currently own rental properties, this webinar will shed light on how professionals look at investing in real estate. The basics of residential real estate investing. A free live webinar, May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. It's free. All you do is register. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's. InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab. Now let's get back to the podcast. The Invest Talk conversation continues. On tomorrow's Invest Talk, many retired investors find themselves with an asset base that may experience swings in values going forward, relying on growth and income in retirement. That's next time. And of course, we're still open to your topic today. Call us at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is John from Walnut Creek. I listen to you on podcast. You have a wonderful show. I had a question about limit orders. Say you have a limit order set at $90 for a $100 stock, and that stock splits and does a 2-for-1, so it drops down to $50. Does your limit order execute, or does it just get canceled or bypassed? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
It definitely will not execute. That it will not do. It may disappear. It may go away because of the stock split. Okay, but it also may split as well, just as the stock itself went from 50 to 100, from 100 to 50 for a 2-for-1 stock split. Your $90 limit order could have went to 45. You know, so you have to check with your brokerage. How do they do it? My guess will be that it would disappear. That would be the most common thing I believe would happen. But it can split just same as the stock. So you need to check with your own brokerage firm. Good question, though, because many people would know that. And everybody knows what a limit order, that means your stock would sell when it hits that limit. In other words, you've limited yourself from $100 price down to 90, and you've limited yourself to $10 loss from 100 down to 90. It's a limit order. Sell it at a certain price, $90. What happens, though, a better question would be, what happens if it went from $100 down to $91, and the very next trade it went to $85, skipped over 90? Would it execute? Not a limit order. It wouldn't, because the limit order says, I want you to sell that stock at $90. It has to be at $90 to be sold. So some people get upset because their limit order didn't execute. Well, you're not asking for the right kind of order. Go to investopedia.com and learn the different kinds of orders you can put in to buy and sell stocks. Okay? It's very important that you know what you're doing. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, some experts out there are saying the good times for the stock market are here to stay for a long time. Now, these experts are also saying it's not going to be what it was. It's not going to be a huge return, but it's here to stay. And they even say, even with if Trump gets bogged down in his economic plans and doesn't get passed right away or gets watered down, they still think the stock market is here to stay. Why? Because they feel even if Trump's plans does not spur the economy is still going to grow at 2%, and 2% for a long time. Just that the returns on the stock market values is going to be slow, going to be low. Not going to be high like it has been. So, you know, they think that, you know, that the if Trump doesn't get any of his plans passed, the Federal Reserve is going to be even more cautious about raising rates, slower. So that's going to not be as detrimental to the stock market when that happens. Now, that's their opinion. Before the end of the show, I'm going to give you an opinion of a very smart guy, Paul Singer of Elliott Management, who manages a $33 billion hedge fund. He's not nearly as convinced as these groups that I just gave you. So don't, you know, you always have both sides. You know, the one thing if I can ever convince you out there, always read both sides of the issue. Always read both sides, good and bad. Whether you're picking a stock or you're trying to figure out what the economy is going to do, whether you think interest rates are going to rise or fall, whether you think, no matter what, always read both sides of the issue. Okay, we're going to go to Dole in Fremont. How you doing, Dole?
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Good, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I have a question on my 401k plan.
Uh-huh.
My company, I've been putting money aside, mm-hmm. and I'm not happy with the selection. I'm still employed. I'm still contributing to that plan. Mm-hmm. Can I take that out? Is there any restrictions for the amount or when and how often can I take that out and roll it over?
You can. If you're talking about, you can take it out anytime you want, but you're going to pay income tax and a penalty. So you don't want to do that. Then you mentioned, can I roll it over? That means rolling it over to an IRA. And it depends on your plan and your age. Many plans at age 60 or so will allow you to roll it over into an IRA while you're still working for the employer. Most time you cannot roll your 401k over to an IRA while you're still working. How old are you?
I'm 62.
You may be able to do it. You may be able to roll over your IRA. What you do is you go to your employer, you go to your the personnel department, or you go to your 401k custodian or whoever who runs your 401k. Is it an insurance company like Principal? Is it Fidelity? Any of the?
Yeah, it's Principal.
Okay, Principal. So then you pick up the phone, you call Principal and ask them the question. First, go to your personnel department. They may know already if you at age 62 can roll that into an IRA. And then you can have unlimited choices of what you want to do. So chances.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time I get like 25K, I pull it out.
Yeah, you can roll over partial, all of it, if they allow it. Yes. And most of the time after age 60, many employers do allow the employee to do that while you're still there. Okay?
Great.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, so if you're younger, you just got to stay with the 401k till you quit. When you leave that job, you can roll that 401k, now it's your old 401k, into an IRA. You also can roll it into your new employer's 401k plan. But generally, I suggest people not do that, but rather roll it into an IRA because of what Dual just said. He wants more choices. Most 401k plans are not very good in providing choices. They limit them. They're very limited. Okay, a hedge fund, big wig expert, Paul Singer, He is in charge of the Elliott Management, and he runs a $33 billion hedge fund. Wrote a letter to his clients, and in that letter, he thinks all hell is going to break loose. Okay? All hell is going to break loose, and that this long, protracted low volatility period that we've been in is going to cause near-term carnage. That's his term, near-term carnage. So he feels that, remember, I just got done telling you, others feel that it's going to be a long-term bull market still, just not great returns. He's feeling that it's not the same. Now, what I find interesting, remember, it's a $33 billion fund, and they're talking about how much cash he has raised. He's raised $5 billion. Okay, that's only 15% or so cash. That's not a lot of cash. And some of my accounts, managed accounts, I have more cash than that. But he feels that's a lot of cash. Now, okay, you and I, $5 billion of cash, but is a lot of cash, right? But it's not when you're running a $33 billion fund. It's only about 15%. He feels that's a lot of cash. So that means the other 85% of this fund is going to get crushed if he's right. Right? If he's right. But the market's pretty stubborn, and the market has a habit of embarrassing the most people. Did you ever notice that? Embarrassing the most people. So maybe an embarrassed singer. I to be honest, my gut feeling is I'm more on Singer's side than not on his side. I am more on his side, not the other guys who think that. I do think the market long-term is going to be pretty steady because that's the history of it. But there's going to be some pretty good volatility coming up here in the next months. I can't tell you exactly when because I don't know. But in the next months, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, 4 months, I don't know. But somewhere in there, yeah, just normal. It's normal. Okay, let's give you a taste of the topics that will be coming up during our live webinar next Wednesday. Justin and real estate investor Chevy Atkinson will cover a range of topics like this one.
According to data from the National Association of Realtors, most people who are looking to list their home only ask two questions from their real estate agent. What questions should they really be asking before signing up with an agent?
Number one is, what's the marketing plan that you're going to complete on the property? How many homes have you sold in the last 12 months? What do you do to market beyond my neighborhood? Another question is, what do you do to market beyond my neighborhood? Because a lot of people will have the guy in their neighborhood that holds open houses, drops flyers, and those things. But, in reality, in most areas, the buyer's coming from outside of the neighborhood. So, what do you do as far as a marketing plan? What's your international marketing approach? What's your national marketing approach? How many buyers are currently in your database? Another good question that I like to ask is, what do you do as far as to get the home ready to sell? Because there's can be a big difference between an agent that just comes in and doesn't stage a home versus an agent that does stage a home, and it can make a huge difference. What's the average price your homes sell for compared to the list price? A lot of agents in the marketplace, I find, will do what's called buy a listing, where they'll go in and they'll promise the seller the highest amount for their home, knowing that that's going to be what's going to win them the listing, and then they'll hammer and hammer and hammer the seller down and sell nowhere near the original listing price that they promised.
So you're saying they overpromise and underdeliver?
Exactly. It's actually a strategy. We call it buying a listing. And I've competed with agents that do it. I try to educate sellers on it.
Are you an InvestTalk insider? Insiders have access to our entire library of webinars, like The Upside of Lower Oil Prices and Global Value Investing and many, many more. Membership is free. Sign up now on InvestTalk.com.
Good afternoon, Steve and Justin. This is Frank from Walnut Creek calling regarding a company called Kansas City Southern, KSU. I'd like you to take a look at it for me and give me an analysis of what you think this situation looks like and if there is a recommended purchase price to wait for. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is Kansas City Southern, and it's a railroad. Owns and operates domestic international rail networks in the United States, Mexico, and Panama. It's big. It's a $10 billion company. Sales have been shrinking up until the last two quarters. Two quarters ago, that would have been a December quarter, sales were flat. And then this most recent quarter, sales grew at 8%. Now, try to remember, a railroad company is very cyclical. What do I mean by cyclical? That means it does much better when the economy is growing and does terrible when the economy shrinks, because it moves goods across country, back and forth, wherever. And the more goods they move, the more money they make. And in a recession, they don't move nearly as much goods. So it's very cyclical. And we're on still the upside of the cycle. So it should do well. Recently, it has gone up last couple, 3 days from 91 to 96. So it's had a pretty good move in the last 3 days. It was really a bargain in the low 80s. That's where it was. It was there in November last year, and then in January this year, and again in March. But all three, the lowest it was November, then a higher low in January, and then a higher low in March. Higher lows, higher highs means it's turned around, is now in an upward trend. So it looks pretty good. Ideally, I'd rather you buy it back in the 90, low 90s if you can. I doubt if you're going to get it back in the low 80s anytime soon. And it's going to hit some strong resistance here at 98, 99. 97, 98, 99 is right at 96. So I wouldn't buy it here. It's kind of no man's land. But it's a pretty good company to own. Pays a 1.4% dividend. Decent return on equity. It's not going to be exciting. So you really kind of want to buy it right. I'd be patient on this. I noticed there was buyers in the low 80s, insiders buying in the low 80s. Let's go to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, I think you talked about Paul. He's a hedge fund. So probably he might be shorting the market and having a cash.
He could, but that's not what the article said. The article said he produced $5 billion in cash. It didn't say shorting.
In one day recently. That's
yeah.
What it says.
Very quickly. Yes, agreed.
I think I kind of agree with him. If you look at the analyst, every company in technology is trading, and the target is 50 PE to 100 PE.
Yep.
Only two sectors are higher PE, technology. That includes semiconductor and internet. Every company is 50 to 100 PE and bank. Banks has pulled back, if you look at the FAS.
Oh, yes.
But other retails are trading under 15 to 20. So the day technology starts going down, market will crash.
Yeah. Now, man, you notice at the very end.
Or come down substantially.
Man, you notice at the very end, I said I kind of agree with him, right? You heard me say that.
Yeah, so I think it is going to.
It may be. We just don't know when. Man, you appreciate the call. Appreciate your comments. Very good. You're listening to Invest Talk. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm fine. Thank you, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Steve, I have a question on ALXN, Alexion. It's a pharmaceutical, and it's fallen down badly, but it's now, I think, stabilized. So I want to know if it's a good buy at this price. Thank you.
Actually, I think it's... Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Alexion Pharmaceuticals, symbols ALXN, develops therapeutics to treat hematological and neurological diseases and metabolic inflammatory disorders. It's growing. Last quarter grew sales 24%. That's the highest growth since 2 years ago. So it's been growing all those years, and in the low high teens, low 20s, 24 being recent. So pretty good growth rate. They're going to make $5.32 this year, $6.57 next year, and it's a $97 stock. So you're looking at less than 20 PE, and a five-year range is 19 to 60. So, and it's fallen recently and has broken support. And so there's something wrong, because fundamentally it looks very good. There's nothing you can say that on the fundamental side there's something wrong on the surface. Okay, now I'm trying to find out what the problem is. I'm really going through fast. I'm trying to read this quick article about why there's problems. Health of any company plays a key role. I can't tell. I can't read it fast. But there's something wrong, everybody. This is a really good lesson to learn. It looks cheap, Jay. It looks like a good price. It looks like it's a solid growing company. Doesn't have much debt. Has pretty good return on equity. Everything looks in order. It's a $21 billion company. It's not small. So now, why is it falling? Have you read anything about why it's fallen in the recent couple weeks?
I did read some article about some management issues there. That's it. Nothing really bad.
Okay. Then this might be giving you an opportunity, or everybody who wants to buy this company. But I would wait, Jay, until you see some strength come back in the stock for a few days. It won't jump right back up. You'll have time. But I would probably wait for some strength to come back into the stock before I pick it. Because we don't know. It looks like it's still falling on a chart. And there's no support on a one-year chart. So you kind of got to kind of wait and see where that support comes in. But I do think fundamentally it looks pretty good. Okay, Jay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, how to spend in retirement without dying broke. And some interesting statistics. People who die in their 60s leave behind about $296,000. People who die in their 70s leave about $313,000. People who die in their 80s leave about $315,000. And people who die in their 90s leave about $238,000. So the people, everybody, including myself, are probably a lot more worried about running out of money before we die. Because the sums are pretty consistent. You know, there's not like they're going down as you get older. The funds are going down. People who are dying as they get older, they're not. They're staying pretty consistent. Now, the trick here is for you in retirement and how to spend the money so you won't necessarily die broke, but have enough. All you need to do is understand your spending habits. And do you have enough money? And spend that amount that you can afford, and no more. Now, that means you got to take into consideration uncovered, because we get older, Medicare doesn't cover everything, so you got to be able to have enough money to cover your medical expenses that are out of pocket. So doing that, and then understanding your monthly outgo, that's all you need to do, and then you can judge whether you're going to run out of money or not. Most people don't go through the exercise of figuring that out, surprisingly. But it's not hard. It's not hard. Your spending is not going to change that dramatically in retirement. Hopefully it'll be less because you'll pay off your mortgage, hopefully. Time's up for the hour. Before we go, a reminder to sign up for the free live webinar happening. Is it tomorrow evening? May 31st, tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Gee, that's coming up tomorrow. The basics of residential real estate investing. It's free. All you do is sign up on investtalk.com. Just look for the InvestTalk tab and then Wealth Webinar. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for being with us today. And let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.